Hi everyone, Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to Viewpoints on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel with my colleague Burkhard Varnholt. Burkhard, welcome back to our regular Viewpoints series of conversations. As always, a lot is going on in global markets, economics, and of course, geopolitics. Meanwhile, I would like to use today's conversation for a deep dive into the recent China rally. It's big and it seems to have taken many by surprise. So for today, I'd like to ask you, Burkhard, what's driving the surge in Chinese markets? Can it last? And are there any lessons to be learned here? So with that, let's begin with the drivers of the rally. I mean, this rally, Burkhard, has been really quite unusual.
You're absolutely right. I mean, look at where we come from, and we better understand why this rally is so powerful. During the last 3 years, the China CSI 300 index had almost halved from peak to trough, while most of the stock of the world stock markets were rallying. And that, of course, was very painful and humbling. And yet, the CSI's earnings have held up surprisingly well. And what's more, its dividend yields of 4-5% and PE ratios of 6 times for big blue chip stocks were largely ignored by global investors. Obviously, such valuations are a good starting point for any recovery. So now the market's rallied 26% during the 7 great days in a row. It's up 15% year to date. And, you know, whatever the challenges to China's economy, there might be more to come. Essentially, we see 3 big drivers behind this. The first one is Beijing has announced something like it's whatever it takes, massive fiscal, monetary, and policy stimulus. Sounds like the old adage, when in doubt, bring out all your bazookas. Print money, spend money, and go all in. I mean, this time, Beijing is really going all in. It's talked about open-ended fiscal support to end the property crisis. Massive monetary support for banks, and the large economy. This is much more than the usual small reductions in bank discount rates the PBOC had offered. Plus, there's also direct financial support for developers, homeowners, and home buyers. Plus, the government encourages and even incentivizes share buybacks. I mean, that's a really capitalistic move, if you will. And the second driver is we can already smell how FOMO is building. I mean, the fear of missing out has quickly infected a lot of China investors who had been craving to end their misery. And there's a growing sense that this stimulus could really work. Why? Because many investors remember how similar stimulus lifted China's stock market under President Hu almost sixfold during 2006 until the end of 2007. And third, and maybe most important and also ironical, this rally, we talked about this last week when we spoke, may actually be driven by the Fed. As I mentioned to you in our last talk, the Fed's rate cut really has many side effects like lifting emerging markets and possibly driving a global melt-up among them. Remember how the S&P 500 quadrupled during the period of 1995 to 2000 on the back of Alan Greenspan's rate cuts? Given the strength of the U.S. economy, such a melt-up could repeat itself today. If it does, well, then Christmas might reach Wall Street earlier this year than it usually does.
Well, thank you, Burkhard, very much for that global perspective. It does lead neatly to my second question, which is how long can this rally last? Should investors still join the bandwagon or might it be too late? I understand that a lot of investors are raising this very question.
Of course, and I hear it too. It's the most important question, I think, today. Phrased as my favorite rock band of the 1980s, it was The Clash famously sang in their number one hit, I believe it was in 1981, Should I Stay or Should I Go? So here are very simple thoughts on this. While the stimulus is obviously no silver bullet to China's fundamental challenges, like the property crisis, debt, an aging society and disgruntled consumers, it could actually turn it to a self-enforcing circle. that, in fact, could mitigate or at least sugarcoat some of the fundamental challenges. Say, if markets were to rally long enough, a lot of the debt problems, the low property valuations, and miserable consumer confidence could actually turn a corner. Also, don't forget that there are a lot of very profitable, cheap tech stocks available in China. But clearly, most really depends on how far the government is willing to go. And it may indeed walk all the way, because by going all in, it'll be increasingly difficult for Beijing to back out again. So our house view on this China rally is this. We feel first doubly vindicated for having kept our nerves and our China exposure at benchmark and for having been overweight China tech stocks. That's notable because most investors, at least the global investors, had actually run for the hills and weren't in the market before this powerful rally began.
Well, that's good to hear, Burkhardt. So let me conclude our conversation by asking you if there are any lessons to be learned which you think investors should take from this episode in a volatile world.
Well, I think this China rally really illustrates three important investment principles very well. The first one is that diversification is the only free lunch. Let me repeat what Harry Markowitz back in the 1960s taught us. Diversification is for free, and ignoring it comes at a peril, as investors who had exited China, the Chinese market, now agonize over. The second lesson is time in the market beats timing the market. I know I mentioned this before. Every recovery starts in the darkest hour. Don't try to time it. The deceptively simple secret of investment success is called staying power. And again, that depends on diversification. And the third one is what I call prepare, don't predict. The media, of course, love bold predictions. Wise investors take note, but they know that they don't know the future. To many people's surprise, investment success is usually not driven by predictions, but by superior processes applied rigorously. That's all. Those are the lessons which I think this China rally reminds us of.
Well, Burkhardt, thank you for sharing those three lessons, very valuable guidance to end on. And thank you as well for sharing some timely insight into what exactly has been driving this rally in Chinese markets and how investors should be thinking about it. So thank you again, Burkhardt, for dropping by today, and do look forward to resuming with our conversation again soon.
Well, thank you, Dan, for having me. It's a great pleasure. As always, speak again soon. Thanks for now.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investor investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.